I will be reading Psalm 119, verses 105 to 112. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I have sworn, and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget thy law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end.
Good morning. It is great to see you today. It is a wonderful Lord's Day, and we're very thankful that God has blessed us with this day. It's truly a wonderful thing to me to gather with my brothers and sisters, to gather with godly people, people who are of a like mind. It's already been a great year so far, and we haven't even finished February yet. There have been many things that have occurred. I got an opportunity to go to Fried Hardman and spend some days there with a lot of good students of the God's Word. I had an opportunity to spend some time over in West Georgia with some brethren over there and with a youth rally that went on there, and found out that I had some family, some physical family, aside from the Lord's family there. It's truly a great thing to be together, because often I get to see people that I know and people that I love. And this is really important to me. And I hope it is to you too, to be together with your brothers and sisters. Because when I go out into this world and do business and drive and go anywhere, I feel like a candle in a windstorm, trying to hold on to my faith. What about you? You ever feel like that? You ever feel like the world is pushing, the wind is blowing, trying to blow your light out? Well, today, we're going to be considering what we find in Psalm 119 as a spark of hope for us. I don't know about you, but oftentimes I find myself in need to return to that hope. So how do we do that? Well, one thing we need to do, first of all, we need to leave Eeyore at the door. And then when we leave Eeyore at the door, quit staring in the rearview mirror. We need to be pressing forward as God's people, thankful for the blessing that He has before us, considering Him. Because today's lesson, as we look at Psalm 119, is about leading our way, not pouting in our place. So think with me today as we look at these things. You know, a number of years ago, when I was a little bit younger, I was training down in Forsyth, Georgia, at the Georgia Public Safety Training Center down there. And this particular week that I was down there, oh, it was awful hot because it was July. It's hard to remember that kind of heat, right? It's hard to remember July heat right now, but it was hot and some more down there. And then you put on, have you ever seen that gear that the firefighters wear? You know, by the time they on, they look like, you know, the robot from Lost in Space. I know that ages me a little bit, but anyway, you know, it's hard to move and sometimes in that stuff, and it's heavy, and then you have on this breathing apparatus, it's referred to as a BA, and you're going through and trying to train those things, and as you go through, they put you in a maze down there to train to be an interior structure firefighter. Now, I enjoy doing interior firefighting, and you see this is the beginning of the maze down at the Georgia training facility down there in Forsyth, and you crawl in that little hole right there. That's where you start, and that's about as big as the holes get, by the way, as you go through there. And so you can see I'd have a lot harder time these days getting through there than I did in those days. But when we were going through those things, I remember getting on my knees and getting started, and they had taped up my face piece. You know, you got the breathing apparatus, and you sound like, you know, Star Wars, you know, all that kind of sound going on. And when you're trying to talk to one another, it doesn't do that real low-sounding voice. It doesn't really interpret that way. You're screaming at one another through those things. And as we were crawling along through that maze, you know, I told my partner, I said, now grab hold of my ankle and do what we're supposed to do. We're going to go in here. We've got this. You know, he was getting a little excited, and I kept telling him, just relax, hold on, I've got this, because these things don't frighten me. Being in a dark spot doesn't bother me at all. I just put my hand out, was feeling alone. But you see, there was a problem. I could handle all of that. What I couldn't handle was when the trainers heard me get him relaxed and say, okay, just relax and follow along the way. A trainer, they're all standing around in the dark where you can't see them. And then they'll yell at you, hey, you're not moving fast enough. Get moving, get moving. I think they hire drill sergeants to do that stuff. Because those guys will scare you with just their voices. And I was going through those things. And even though every bit of the outside light was cut off, upon occasion, there was this little pinhole in my face piece between the tape, and I could see a flashlight. You know, those guys that were yelling, they were in the dark too, and they had to occasionally turn on a flashlight to see where they were. And occasionally I would see a flashlight, just that speck of light, and that would give me some calm amid all the commotion, because those guys are yelling, they're fussing at folks, and when they're doing those kinds of things, it creates a great deal of anxiety. But that little speck of light would give me hope. Oh, I was going to be pushed to the limit, no doubt. But I knew I would survive that training because I was in the hands of those who knew what they were doing. But as we crawled along through this maze, I think I probably told you before, we came to this concrete pipe that was about 30 inches around. And that means that you had to take off the breathing equipment, put it on the floor in front of you, and push it and follow it through the pipe. So you're going into this pipe, and we're crawling along in the pipe. And you know what? When people yell at you inside a pipe, it gets really loud, especially one of those concrete pipes. It's echoing around in there, and I'm pushing along. My partner doesn't want to do this, by the way, because here's what he has to do. He has to take his off, put it between my ankles, and grab hold one of my ankles and push it and grab hold of my ankle. Push it and grab hold of my ankle. So we've got to work together to get through this thing. And as we're going along, we finally crawl to the end of the pipe, and there's a concrete stop. It's a stop right there. There's nowhere to go. So we're both calm, we're cool, we're collected. And I said, Mikey, we got to go backwards. Michael, we got to go back. And Mikey said, okay, reverse gears. You know, he's trying to be calm. And then all of a sudden, somebody yelled from the pipe, there's fire back here. You can't go backwards. And the next thing I know, it had scared Mikey so much. He pulls off his face piece. Now, how I could tell is because when you take them off, they're positive pressure, which means the air starts coming out. You know, I hear this, and I hear all yelling and carrying on back behind me. And I hear somebody sliding behind me. They grabbed him by his ankles, by the way, pulled him out of the pipe. I don't know what was happening. All I knew was in a moment, I was in there by myself. So I thought, well, I'm going to ease back. No, Johnson, you got to move forward. How am I supposed to? So I'm feeling around the pipe, and sure enough, over my head, there was a hatch. And I crawled out of that hatch and got out. And the right as I got out of that hatch, they gave me a good old boy slap across my back, and I almost hit the ground because my legs were like spaghetti. I had been so scared crawling around in that thing. You see, I told you all that. Because when I think back to those days, I think that maybe the trainers were a little purposeful in their sloppy covering up your face piece so that upon occasion you could see a little flash of light so that you would know that it was all going to be okay. I don't know if that's the purpose or not. I just know that mine had a little bit of light flaking through there when I could see that I had some hope. Maybe I was cheating. Maybe it was supposed to be completely covered. I don't know. But I do know that when I saw those specks of light, I had a little hope. Now, I bring all that to your attention because when we look at Psalm 119, the New King James Version labels this area as the excellencies or meditation on the excellencies of the Word of God. Think about that. Meditations, I'm thinking, rolling this over my head, on the excellencies of the Word of God. And by the time we read down to verse 105, we see that His Word is an everlasting truth. It is a lamp to lead our way. Everlasting, unchanging truth. A lamp in darkness. And now there is hope. The psalmist seems to communicate these ideas in these verses. The Lord will guide me. The Lord will revive me. The Lord will fortify me. And I can put my confidence in Him because I'm reminded, as the writer to the Hebrews tells us, that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So in this world of confusion, in this world of turmoil, in this world where noise is coming at us in every direction, I can take comfort in the fact that I have a God who is still in control of it all. I can always look toward the light, and through all of the madness, let Him lead me. Let Him guide me. You know, when we look at Psalm 119, verses 105 and 106 say these things: Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your judgments. That I will keep your judgments. I can take confidence in His word. When I look at Proverbs 6 and verse 23, I read, "For the commandment is a lamp. It's that which will guide me. It's something that I can look toward. It's something that will give me hope amongst all of this madness. And the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." You know, I read some time ago that someone was trying to make a joke and said, "A flashlight is a great case for dead batteries." You know, you got any of those in your house? A case for dead batteries, a flashlight? What good is having a light if we don't turn it on? What good is it? Jesus tells us in Matthew 15, of breath 5 and verse 15, I should say, that neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light to all the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Folks, we don't turn lights on and cover them up then, do we? That wouldn't do any good at all. No good when we have no light, because we stumble when we are in the dark. Have you ever noticed that when you're trying to walk through the house in the dark, that's when whoever you live with decided to move something about an inch away from where it used to be? We stumble when we're in the dark. How are we to let our lights shine if we've got dead batteries in the case? I'm fixing to get personal, so I'm going to go ahead and warn you. Here's my question for the day. Are you caught up on your daily Bible reading? I didn't ask you to answer. Are you caught up on your daily Bible reading? If you did it one time before and you're not doing it this year, you can do it again. If you've never done it before, you can do it. You can read it through, and it's not too late to get started. Actually, it's never too late to get started when it comes to reading God's Word. You know, verse 106 says, "The godly one has made an agreement to follow after God." A commitment to God, by the way, is serious business, folks. Who wants to stand before God on the last day and say, "Well, Lord, I know what I said I would do, but I didn't keep my commitment"? Nehemiah tells us that as we come before God, We make a commitment when we submit ourselves to obey him. And that promise can bring a blessing and or a curse. We read these words at verse 29 of Nehemiah 10. These joined with their brethren, their nobles, and entered into a curse and an oath to walk in God's law, which was given by Moses, the servant of God, and to observe a few things. No, to observe all the commandments of the Lord our God and his ordinances and his statutes. And that means that we need to back up and think again. Think about the cost that's involved in being a child of God, being one who would follow after him. There is something there. Jesus tells us, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, mother, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, by the way, intended to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it, lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. What king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes with 20,000, or else while the other is still a great way off, he does send a delegation and ask conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you who does not forsake all cannot be my disciple. Did you get that? To let him lead the way, I've got to forget everything else and let him take priority. Let that sink in for a minute. Let God take priority. Above everything else that you're used to doing, above all of the comforts that you have, above everything else that you do, let God take priority. Now, when we let that sink in, I think it's time that we let our mighty God lead us, guide us, and revive us. When we look back at Psalm 119, we pick up there at verse 107 and read down to verse 109 with these words, I am afflicted very much. Revive me. If you've got an electronic device, put that in yellow. If you've got a regular Bible, a paper Bible like I'm reading from, underline it with something. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. My life is continually in your hand, yet I do not forget your law. I do not forget your law. When we scroll up to verse 25, you know what we're going to see there? My soul, the psalmist writes, clings to the dust. Revive me, how? According to your word. The lamp, his word, the light will revive my thinking. Maybe it's time I need to begin by reviving my reading. When I think on these things, I look at what we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. There Paul wrote, and be not conformed to this world. There are people pulling at you in every single direction. And everywhere you go, it doesn't matter what walk of life that you have. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Folks, let us all call out to our God, remind me, O Lord, of your word. Change my thinking. You see, when Stephanie reminds me of things, sometimes she will remind me of things, and I can almost sing a song of the things that she reminds me of. You going out the door, phone, keys, wallet, got them, okay? Now, I will say got them because she says that. I'm used to that. Phone, keys, wallet, got them. Handkerchief, got it. You ready to go? Got it. And then I will get here, and then guess what? I can't get out of the driveway without my keys, but I may not have my phone. I may not have my wallet because I'm into this redundant thing, a phone, keys, wallet, and I go out the door, okay? Now, here's the problem. Sometimes I don't need to just be reminded. I need to remind. I need to think differently. I need to think refreshingly. I need to think over again, and I need to think about what I'm saying and not just say it. I need to do it. I need to do it. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2, beginning at verse 11, this is a faithful saying, for if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains the same. He is faithful. He cannot deny himself. Remind, rethink, clear my mind of everything else. Remind them of these things, charging them before the Lord not to strive about words to no profit, to the ruin of the hearers. Keep it simple, keep it true, keep it in God's word. The psalmist also writes in Psalm 119, we go up to verse 50, this is my comfort in my affliction. Do you need a comfort when things get rough? I don't know about you, but I do. The psalmist writes, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. There it is. Remind me, O Lord, to consider your words as comfort when I lay down for sleep. Hosea makes this comment in chapter 14, verse 2. Take words with you and return to the Lord, saying to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we will offer the sacrifices of our lips. Remind me as I memorize your words. We've often heard people say, if you treated your Bible like your phone, you wouldn't leave the house without it, right? You would take it everywhere you go. It could be that you might leave your phone, you might leave your Bible, but if you've got his word in your mind and in your heart, you're taking it with you everywhere you go. The words that the Lord has given us are the words that mean more than my job. They mean more than my hobbies. They mean more even than my family. Even more than my physical life. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Let me repeat those precious words back to you time and time again. And as my focus changes, so will my heart. I'll have peace in a world full of conflict. And they won't understand why. It's because I have faith in the one who is in control of it all. It doesn't matter how much the world tries to tape up my face piece. I know that there is a God who is above it all. Amen? For it is you, Lord, and you alone, the one in whom I will find rest in a world that seems to never sleep. Revive me. It is in his power that I find strength. I lay down my burdens at his feet. His light guides me. His light revives me. His light will fortify me. When I look back at Psalm 119 in verses 110 and 12, we read these words. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts. Your testimonies I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the very end. The doubter, the mocker, those who are trying to distract, the unbelieving in God themselves or anybody else, they set a trap for me, and that trap is defeat, depression, and division. Verse 112 says, I don't have to fall for that. For my friends, there is a God who put a light in your hand or in your phone or in your heart if you've memorized his word. All we have to do is to remember to look to Him and let Him lead. When we look at Psalm 91:3, we read these words: surely He will deliver you. Surely He will deliver you from the snare, from the trap of the fowler. Some versions use a very interesting word there, gins, G-I-N-S. I don't know why they would use that, but it's a trap. It's what he's talking about. He will deliver the obedient. Remember His deliverance, His revival, His fortification, all these things based on obedience. When we look back in Psalms and go forward, actually, to chapter 140, verse 5, we see the proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They've spread a net by the wayside. They have traps for me. And those traps are very, very, very well camouflaged. Fact is, we can walk into things that they have set that look like those things of our own. They can use us against ourselves. Those traps can be used against us to make us think that, well, just my good behavior is going to get me into heaven. Well, that is a lie of the devil, and we will be mistaken. You see, there's a lot in this world who have fallen for that. It's just my good behavior, but the Lord said, enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Matthew chapter 7, beginning at verse 13. Because there would be those who would be like ravening wolves seeking to destroy us. Jesus warns us about false prophets, and when we take our eyes off of Him, we can be our own worst enemy. Using the things in this world, there would be those to cause us to shudder in fear, so that we would make excuse for not doing what God would have us to do. You know, when I was in that pipe and they were yelling at me to go forward, I was, let's just put it as simply, I was scared to death. But I knew that there was someone who was looking out for my best. And I knew that I was being prepared for any opportunity that I might be trapped in a place like this. You see, the devil wants to trap us. He wants to hold us, and he wants us to be afraid, so afraid that we will not move. And that he will grab us by our ankles and pull us into destruction. But God has made us a way of escape. There's a hatch in this, and God has made us a way of escape. When we look at Psalm 141, verse 9, there the psalmist writes, keep me from the snares which they have laid me. I pray that we all consider how the devil can use our past to prevent the future. Think on these things with me. Look back at verse 119 and verse 14. I rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all the riches. I rejoiced in the lifestyle prescribed by your rules as if they were riches of all kinds. The devil can only steal the things of this earth. He cannot take salvation away. The question for us is, would we trust and obey? Now scroll down to verse 162. Psalm 119, 162 gives us this. I rejoice in your instructions like one who finds much plunder. Heaven is the great treasure, and there will be no more struggle. Because you see, our Master has given us the way out. We can't go forward. We can't go back. He's provided us salvation by way of belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In John 1 verse 12, we read these words, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. And if we believe Him, we're going to do as He asks. And He does tell us that we need to be repentant of the things in this life that have gotten in our way, the things that are sinful, our lack of putting God at our top priority. in Mark chapter 6 and verse 12. And they went out and they preached that all men should repent. And of course, public confession that Jesus is the Son of God is fundamental to the patterns that we find in the New Testament. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, we read these words, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And of course, as we look into the Bible and we see God's word, that baptism is a place where we were buried with Him. It's not a sign of something that's already happened, but it's a place where we come in contact with the blood and have our sins washed away, Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. In Romans, Paul wrote these words in chapter 6 and verse 4, "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the dead, or from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life." Walking in newness of life means that I'm going to follow where He leads. I'm going to let His lamp be the one that leads me. Verse 33 of Psalm 119 says this, "Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end." Have you promised the Lord obedience? Verse 36, we read these words, "Incline my heart to thy testimonies and not to covetousness," because covetousness is selfishness, and keeping God at a distance and not obeying Him fully is indeed selfishness. And that's why I believe when we look back at verse 104, we read these words just above our text, "Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way." I hate every false way. We'll sing a song of invitation in just a moment. If you'd like to go ahead and get your song book, you can do that. And as we sing that song of invitation, I want you to understand that this is a call from those hearts round about you, that you would make the decision this day to let the lamp, the light of the world, Jesus Christ, lead you, that you would obey Him if you've never put Him on in that humble and obedient act of baptism. But having done that, if you find yourself holding Him at a distance, don't cover His light. Come back and be His now as together we stand and sing.